not your radio or newspapers?
Oh, I think they're open to everyone. I don't know if they're exclusive or not, but glad to talk to the radios, too.
Well, we've been told that only TV, and they're getting each separate interview.
Oh, well, I don't do that scheduling, so I guess you'd see Mr. Speaks, Larry Speaks.
Senator William Duncan, the AIP, says the Democrats are leading the country in the socialism, and the Republicans are saying that's okay, but just take a little longer to do it. Sir, how do you react to that?
Pardon?
Bill Duncan, the AIP, running for vice president, said that the Democrats are leading the country in the socialism, and the Republicans say that's okay, but let's not go too fast. How do you react to that, sir?
Well, I don't even react to it. I don't really understand the question. I don't know William Teichman.
Dyke.
Pardon?
Dyke.
Dyke? Doesn't ring a bell with me. I just happen to believe that we're gaining all over this country, the Republican Party. I understand the New York Times, CBS poll indicated that it was 37-24 that Ford won the debate with that margin, which was paralleled the victory that Kennedy had over Nixon in the first debate in 1960. You know, for whatever it's worth, that first debate Kennedy had, I think, was instrumental in his winning that election. It just seems to me that the movement's on our side, we're on the right track, we're going to pass Carter very soon and going to win the election, but I can't respond to the socialism. I think we have a very good choice between a very, very liberal ticket and a moderate to conservative ticket.
Why should the farmers in Western Illinois vote for a Ford ticket?
I think basically because of our farm programs and our efforts to expand exports, to keep government interference off the backs of the farmers. There's been a great shift in emphasis on farm programs. Now, I'll admit the prices aren't as high as I would like, but we do have a good farm program, and I haven't seen Governor Carter's program. All he says is ours is no good. Well, I think farmers want more proof. They want to know what his program is. I don't think most farmers want grain reserves being advocated by Governor Carter and Senator Mondale. So there are a number of reasons. In addition, they know who has the influence on the Democrat ticket. Big labor is going to control the Democrat Party. They do it now. They're going to control the actions of Governor Carter if he's elected. And I don't believe most farmers want that.
Along those lines, Senator, what are your concerns about the price spread between what the farmer receives for his livestock and field crops and the prices at the wholesale or retail level?
I think it's bad. You know, the farmer sells everything wholesale and buys everything retail. It's not good. But as far as livestock, we're in a cycle now. Too much beef. We're going to work out of it. But I don't propose any government action to do that.
Senator, this morning the president promised the police chief the law and order campaign. That's been promised before, and the crime rate continues to go up. Now, what can a Ford Dole administration do that hasn't been tried before?
Well, I don't know specifically what the president said. I knew he was addressing the National Association of Police Chiefs in Miami. But I think we have to keep working in that direction. I think he may have mentioned or could have mentioned gun control and Carter's stand on registration of handguns, which we're opposed to. I think president's come down hard that there ought to be mandatory sentences for those who commit a crime using a gun, but I don't know what else he may have told the police chiefs, but I hope it was a good, tough statement.
Senator, various individuals have said that they're being asked by federal investigators about funds that went to President Ford when he was a congressman. Is that investigation going to have any sort of political effect in this campaign?
I don't know. I mean, it's it's all one-sided, but we expect that.
What do you mean it's one-sided?
I don't see him looking any other place, the prosecutors.
Well, where should they be looking?
Well, they'll be looking everywhere, I guess.
Why
are
you
saying the prosecutor's office is biased?
Well, I think it's rather coincidental that this would arise right now.
Well, do you have any evidence that they're biased?
Well, we'll see.
Well, what is it that prompts your concern?
Senator, we have those questions.
Your kind introduction, I hope Dan's on our side. You on our side, Dan? We're very pleased to be here, and with so much enthusiasm, we may just stay here. This sounds like a pretty good precinct to spend some time in. We've been traveling about the country. We're a little bit rusty because I had last night off, so if I seem a little ill at ease, it's because we didn't make any speeches yesterday and only one or two the day before, and they were very brief. But I want to say, first of all, that it's a pleasure to be here. I like to go to nonpartisan events like this. It gives you a feeling that there's really movement, and the movement's in the direction of President Ford, and I think it is, and I think you think it is, and we're going to win on November 2nd with your help. That's clear pineapple juice I'm drinking. It's a lot better for you than peanut butter, and for one thing, it doesn't stick to the roof of your mouth, but I've... Well, Bill mentioned that during World War II I had some problems, and reminds me of an introduction I had, or sort of a radio interview I had, and as I was leaving the radio station, the announcer was saying that I was born in Kansas and reared in Kansas and gone to school in Kansas. He went on to say that I'd suffered a serious head injury in the war, that I'd been a pre-medical student, but after suffering a serious head injury, I went into politics. So I don't know... I don't know how you got where you are, but I know how I got where I am. So I want to say, first of all, that we've visited a number of campuses. We intend to visit many more. We're happy to see so many young people in attendance, so many Republicans, so many independents, so many, I hope some Democrats, and I hope some are here. All right. Some are just come to the wrong meeting, but that's all right, too. Because one way to be enlightened is to go around and hear those in politics that tell you like it is, or tell you like they think it is, or tell you like Jimmy Carter tell you three positions on every issue. And we're not going to do that. I've told many of my audiences why they're having three debates. That's so Carter can give all three of his positions on every issue. In fact, we watched the first debate. I had three TV sets thinking I'd get them all at once, but they all had on the same picture, so I only got one position on the various issues, but there are two debates to go. And he may have to have a fourth debate because I think he's starting to waffle on the three positions in some areas. He may yet have a fourth position or a fifth position, and I want to talk to you about one. Now, he calls it tax reform. That's what he keeps telling America's poor, he says, and the working men and the working women. He said he wanted to raise taxes for higher income groups and lower them for everyone else. That's how he started his campaign. Said he wanted to close loopholes. He called the tax system a national disgrace. Well, that wasn't particularly informative, but at least it was good politics. Say we ought to tax the rich, we ought to get rid of loopholes. And I agree with Governor Carter. No one's happy with America's tax system. And many Americans know, as he apparently has forgotten, that the Democrats have controlled the Congress for the past 22 years. They control the committees. If there's something wrong with our tax system, you ought to take a look at the Democrats. Instead of pointing his finger at the public. Everyone wants to tax the rich, and we assume the rich are somebody who has more than we have, or twice as much as we have, or three times as much as we have. Everybody wants to close loopholes. They figure that's what somebody else have. If you have it, that's an incentive. If I have it, it's a loophole. Then I think when Governor Carter started getting specific, and he's been talking a lot lately, he's granted a lot of interviews. Some have been very exciting, I understand. Some have been very interesting. Some are in the unknown category.
But back in February, Mr. Carter suggested in Boston that one of the loopholes he was thinking of closing was the homeowner's mortgage interest deduction. Well, then he discovered there are about 48 million American homeowners who didn't like this, so he started to back off, and he started to backpedal very quickly. Then last week, in an interview with Associated Press, and Mr. Carter said this, Bob Dole didn't say this, Jerry Ford didn't say this, but Governor Carter said this. When he was pressed to be specific, he defined higher income. He said he's going to tax higher incomes. And so when they pressed him to be specific, he said higher incomes would be any income above the median income. Only one thing wrong. He didn't know what the median income was. And the median income is not $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 or $100,000. It's $14,000. And it's not $14,000 a person. It's $14,000 per family. So if the wife works and the husband works and the children work and you have $14,000, you're above the median income. So I guess the American people started to wonder just where Mr. Carter stood on tax reform. Well, I think the American people ought to know where he stands on tax reform. He keeps giving you those buzzwords about the rich and the liars and the cheats and the crooks. And that may appeal to some in our society. It may appeal to the base instincts of some Americans, but let's just lay it out. What does he mean? He goes before audiences daily. I think he did it yesterday in the Los Angeles area. And he talks about the rich people, the rich people, the rich people, and how they benefit from loopholes. And he says loophole and loophole and loophole. He also says they have accountants and lawyers to help them. And they get all those benefits not available to the average man. Well, I find a certain amount of hypocrisy in this. The same Jimmy Carter who is so sympathetic and such a friend of the average man, who talks about lawyers and accountants saving taxes for the rich through the use of loopholes, took $41,000, not $41, not $4,100, but he took $41,000 off his income taxes last year by using the investment tax credit. Now, is that a loophole? Apparently not, because he used it. But if you'd used it, it'd have been a loophole. Had I used it, it'd been a loophole. And I wonder, sometime I can forgive Mr. Carter, but I think we can wonder and we should wonder, what does he mean about tax reform? Does he favor the investment tax credit for farm machinery? Why has he criticized capital gains tax? Does he want to double the tax on the sale of farmland? He says he does. He said in this same Associated Press interview, we should treat all income alike. All income alike. That sounds good until you start looking at it. And I just think that Governor Carter, when he stands around and moralizes and posturizes before groups he calls not the rich but the average American, he ought to tell us who figured out his income tax and who figured out his savings. And why he hasn't given the American people summaries of his tax returns for the past 10 years, as President Ford has done, and as Senator Dole has done. Where are his summaries for the last 10 years? How many loopholes has he taken advantage of in the last 10 years? And if he wants to talk and use the buzzwords about, and talking about former President Johnson as someone who lied and cheated and distorted the facts, you know, I have a funny feeling about someone, whether it's a student, or whether it's a member of Congress, or it's a man in agriculture, or education, or labor union, man or woman who always finds fault with everyone else, who can always pass judgment on everyone else. And that's essentially what Mr. Carter's doing in America. He says President Ford's insensitive. The President Ford, Mr. Mondale says, likes unemployment. We like unemployment as Republicans. We don't want people to work, he says. I think most Americans understand that we're in a political campaign. Most Americans understand that those who are on the outside will do most anything to get on the inside. But I'm not certain that most Americans knew they would go quite as far as Mr. Carter has gone or as Mr. Mondale has gone. And I think in the next 35 days you're going to see a big change in the polls in this campaign. You're going to see movement. And I think rather rapid movement towards President Ford, because President Ford is perceived by the rich and by the poor and by the middle income and by the black and the white, young and old, Spanish speaking, you name it. Whether you like President Ford or not, he's perceived as an open, honest, decent American who's provided great leadership to this country the past 2 years. And that's really what it's all about. I serve on the Finance Committee in the Congress, and I know a little about the tax laws, and I don't want to get too complicated, but I would just single out another program that Governor Carter says he would end if he were President of the United States, and it's called the DISC program. Now, all this really does, it encourages exports, and it is a great benefit to American agriculture and to America's farmers, but he's going to end that program. He said so during the debate. Of course, he can change his mind. He has on everything else. But he said his last report was he was going to end the program. Now, he gave that as one example of where the rich were getting benefits. Well, let me tell Mr. Carter, if he doesn't know, that program doesn't even apply to individual taxpayers. There's not a thing in that program that applies to individual taxpayers. I just asked the question. Was he deliberately misrepresenting this valuable farm export incentive? Or is it just another case of Carter not knowing what he was talking about when it comes to tax reform? And I think we ought to ask that question every day if you're in agriculture, or if your parents are farmers, or if you have some direct or indirect relationship to agriculture or agribusiness or small business or whatever. And then what about estate tax reform? Mr. Carter's been strangely silent on estate tax reform. Why wasn't he urging his fellow Democrats in the Congress to do something with tax reform insofar as the states are concerned? And again, let me say, it was President Ford's leadership which made meaningful tax reform possible this year. And because of his efforts, because of President Ford's efforts, farm families no longer have to sell their farms just to pay the federal estate tax collector. And I think that's a step in the right direction. And that is an initiative by President Ford. And he ought to have credit for it, and he'll get credit for it from America's farmers, despite what Governor Carter may say. I just say in conclusion, I think Mr. Carter's confusion over taxes suggests a confusion about the nature of our economic system itself. I say, and I'll say many times, and I've said in the past, Governor Carter's campaign is based on the old Democrat principle. You can always get elected by promising you spend other people's money, and he's done it. If you looked at their platform, whether you're for Carter, against Carter, undecided, or really don't care, you ought to take a look at our platform and their platform. I think you'll find a basic difference philosophically. I happen to believe that most young Americans and most other Americans have a moderate to conservative view in politics and in government, and what government should do and what government should not do. Their program, their platform, calls for 65 new spending programs or increased spending programs or add-ons in existing spending programs. Their platform, Carter's platform, he drafted it, his people drafted it, they control the convention, calls for 22 new agencies or expanded agencies or add-ons to agencies to handle spending programs. And it just seems to me that if you're concerned about your future and about the future of America, you ought to be taking a hard look at what the Democrat platform offers. And I think it's somewhat amusing. Mr. Carter goes around criticizing President Ford's vetoes. President Ford has vetoed, I think, I've been out of Congress for a while, but I think the last count was 56 measures, and 40-some of these were sustained by the Congress, which meant a savings to the American taxpayer, Democrat, Republican, or independent, of some $9 billion. I think the American people, again, whether they're Democrats or Republicans or independents, want some check on a runaway Congress. And I think Democrats begin to wonder, Should we have a Congress dominated 2-1 by the Democrats and someone in the White House, namely Mr. Carter, who says he'll do anything they want to do in the Congress, he'll sign any bill? I don't think so. I believe the American people are concerned. It's not because we're Republicans and they're Democrats or vice versa. They're concerned about the future of America. They're concerned about federal spending. They're concerned about federal controls. You're concerned about spending and controls. You ought to be concerned about who's going to put a check on the Democrat Congress. And if they had their way, we'd have been spending a bankruptcy a long, long time ago. But because of the courage, and because of the foresight, and because of the compassion and concern that President Ford has for Americans, and I'm talking about all Americans, he's had the courage to stand up against sharp criticism and castigation and condemnation by the liberals in this country and say, I can't sign this bill. It's not good for the American people. It's not good for America's young people. Because believe me, it's not the candidate who stands up before an audience and says, I'll give you this and I'll give you that and I'll give you that. He can't give you anything that somebody in this audience doesn't have to pay for. And we don't promise you anything except good government and conservative government and fiscal responsibility. Oh, yes, we've got our quality of life programs. We believe in better education and better jobs and better medical care and better transportation and better recreation and a greater emphasis on crime control. But we're not going to trot out one spending program after another in an attempt to buy your vote, which lasts but a short time, and then saddle some other generation with our irresponsibility. And so I say, as in a serious way as I can, if you want a ticket that provides make-work jobs that cost you as taxpayers about $20,000 a year, then you ought to go out and work for Mr. Carter and Senator Mondale. If you want more spending programs, if you want to weaken our defense posture, if you want to bring about gun control, and you want the long hand of the federal government reaching back into agriculture after we finally worked our way out, then Carter's your man. That's his platform. That's his promise. And on the other hand, if you believe in responsible, reasonable government, some check on a Democratic Congress that knows no bounds when it comes to spending, when it comes to federal control, and if you believe in a man who's provided leadership in very difficult times, who's restored the dignity of the office of the presidency, who's cut the inflation rate in half, where 88 million Americans are now working, 3.5 million jobs in the past 17 months, and as I said earlier, an honest, decent, open, candid American with experience, then there's only one choice, and that choice is President Ford. And finally, I just ask you to take a look at our record. I heard a commentator the other night, and I listen to some commentators. You learn a lot. You really do. Because they've been through politics, they've watched campaigns, they've watched people running for office at all levels. But I think you learn a lot if we listen. At least I try to listen occasionally, and it just seems to me that as I look at it, as I travel around the country, I really don't believe the American people, by and large, are looking for someone to come into the White House, as I said earlier, who can just promise me anything. I think the American people would like to say, let's take a look at what we have. Let's take a look at the $75 billion deficit. I'm worried about my children. I'm worried about my grandchildren. I'm worried about the national debt. Well, I want all these great things that Governor Carter promises. I don't want to destroy the free enterprise system in the process. I don't want to destroy free agriculture in the process. And President Ford's addressed these concerns time after time after time. And his proposal is still sitting in the Congress, still resting in the Congress. So I think sometimes, as President Ford said, a government big enough to give everything you want is big enough to take it all away. They can do it through inflation. They can do it through unemployment. They can do it directly. But he's talking more about the indirect threat, bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger government. And to my farm friends in the audience, I recognize prices are down. I also recognize who advises Governor Carter and where his strength comes from. Someone asked how you could tell me apart from Senator Mondale. I said, well, you'll always find him with George Meany. That's one basic difference. And someone asked why George Meany didn't want to run for president. And Meany said, why step down? He's got a pretty good grip on the Democratic Party now. Why step down? He doesn't have to move this way. You'll be able to work it out with Carter, all right? Carter's been down to the AFL-CIO headquarters. He's taken the pledge. He's gotten the endorsement. And I just think it's time we stop excesses, whether it's excesses by labor or business or agriculture or any other group. And we don't have it in agriculture. We're on the back burner in the Congress of the United States. Having served on the House Committee 8 years and the Senate Committee 8 years, I'm going to have an active role in agriculture come January. Let me finish as I started. How many here are registered? Jiminy. That's fantastic. How many plan to vote? That's better yet. Some are going to vote that aren't registered yet. Well, if you haven't registered, please do so. If you haven't made up your mind, just give us a fair shake. Give us a fair look. We're not trying to drive anything down your throat, but look at Mr. Carter's promises. Look at his record. Look at my record. Look at President Ford's record. Look at Senator Mondale's record. And then you make the choice. But let me ask you, in case somebody said, well, they didn't ask for our help, I want to say very clearly and very bluntly that we need your help. And we want your help. And we'll appreciate your help, not just because we're running, not just because we're Republicans, because I firmly believe, and I think most Americans will agree on November 2nd, that the way to leadership for the future, the best way for America, is the election of President Ford. Thank you very much.